When people discuss the refugee crisis, arguments tend to revolve around the burden refugees place on their host nations. Can they afford to take them on, and how should the responsibility be divided up between countries? But a new book argues that refugees can also be a resource. They could be employed and become potential contributors to the countries where they end up, even if they're living in camps. In a moment, we'll be hearing from one of the book's authors, Professor Alexander Betts. But first, The World Tonight's Paul Moss has been meeting refugees in Denmark who say they want to be seen as people giving something to the country, not taking from it.
So now I just chop the onions to add them to the lentils and the rice.
She describes herself as a messy chef. Certainly, Nora Bitasubog's kitchen is a riot of pots, pans, spices and other ingredients, which she uses to cook up traditional Syrian cuisine from the flat where she lives in the south of Copenhagen.
I'm cooking jedera. It's a famous dish in Syria. I make it with rice. Other people do it with bulgur. It has a lot of protein from the lentils and you get the veggies next to it.
You look like you're having fun. I mean, you like cooking.
Yeah. It's your identity, the way you present yourself through your food. I mean, what I'm going to do, I'm going to add the onions, then we have salad and yogurt next to it.
This isn't just a matter of cultural expression for Nora. A refugee from Syria's civil war, she started a catering business here in Denmark. But Nora's expanded this into a charity, and she's now running free cookery classes for Danish women who've been victims of rape or domestic violence.
I wanted to say thank you to the Danish society through helping. It gave us security, it gave us place to stay. And food is a language that you can speak without actually speaking. It might be silly, but I mean, when we do mixed workshops with refugee women and Danish women who suffered violence, they put everything behind the minute they start working and cooking and the smell of food comes out.
You have had, by any standards, a very hard time. Mm. You fled a country at war. I know you know people who were killed there. Mm. It will still sound extraordinary to some people that your first thought when you come to Denmark is to get involved in a project helping Danish people.
The whole idea of giving back was what brought me to this, because you have that stereotyping of us as refugees, that we came here to take their jobs, to take their money. And I just want to say, no, that's not us.
Challenging that stereotype image is the aim of a project run from a small office in the Danish capital. Refugee Entrepreneurs Denmark has been helping new arrivals like Nora to set up businesses. The organization's founder, Connor Clancy, argues that refugees should be seen not as a burden, but as a potential resource.
Starting a business not only empowers the individual, but it also can employ Danes and more refugees, pay more tax into the system, and we can also help to break down this wall between refugees and the new host nation. So the reason why I believe in this opportunity is that when refugees are in the camps, they show a lot of entrepreneurial attributes.
And yet the challenges are immense. No one I met was under any illusion that the majority of refugees could simply cast off their woes and instantly become the next Richard Branson. Indeed, I learned about how difficult it can be for refugees to operate in their new homeland from talking to another refugee who set up his own business.
This is the intro.
Khalid Jessery also came to Denmark from Syria and has now created a startup company. He showed me how it uses online text and video to teach other new arrivals how to navigate their way around Danish society.
From my experience here as a refugee, like I saw the refugees find it very difficult to understand how to do the garbage, for example. They don't know how to pay for their electricity. They don't know how to pay for their bills, you know. We made short videos, educational videos, and each video, they tell you how to do certain tasks. And we bought it online, and it was really a big hit online.
These were refugees in Denmark watching online.
Yes.
Your video explanations.
Yes, exactly. For example, we have dealt with the transportation system. Here, as you can see, those are some of my friends. They're trying to here explain like how to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
The translation is written here in Arabic, and It's simple.
And you're getting plenty of people watching these videos.
Yes, yes. In Syria, we are accustomed to hard work. So what we try to do is to help to assist the refugees to be actually self-reliant.
And that is a major point of contention here in Denmark, where opinion polls show increasing antipathy towards refugees, sometimes seen as a drain on state coffers. It's an attitude that's been growing here for several decades now, but which showed a marked upturn 2 years ago when thousands of refugees came pouring into this country across the border from Germany.
Suddenly we had refugees walking on the motorways in Denmark, walking with all their belongings and their children on the motorway, and the politicians, the police, the Danish people had no idea where it would end.
Christine Kortsen is a political correspondent for Danish Public Broadcasting. I asked her whether the fact that some refugees were now starting their own businesses might change their image and public opinion about them.
In some aspects, I think that refugees that act like that can change the attitude. But the overall discussion is different. We had one incident of a guy standing on a bridge spitting on the refugees that were walking on the motorways. Most politicians, all the big parties, are very tough on these issues. And that's what the majority of the Danish people want.
There are definitely too many refugees in Denmark, and there are too many refugees coming to Denmark. Some of them we try to send them back.
When it comes to politicians here, there are few who've been as tough on the issue of refugees as Martin Henriksen, a member of parliament for the Danish People's Party. The party won nearly a quarter of the votes in the last election here on a promise to clamp down on refugees and immigration generally. On a rainy Copenhagen afternoon, Mr. Henriksen showed me round a housing estate in the Nørrebro area, where many refugees now live.
A lot of people here have different cultural background, religious background. They speak another language. We have Islamists, and also we have had a cancellation from the Danish Minister of Finance. As many billions of crowns spent on immigration and refugees from non-Western countries. So the taxes are going to people from other countries who don't want to be Danish.
I've met people here in Denmark, refugees who want to start businesses, people who work with them who believe that refugees can be a resource.
Some refugees, but the majority of those who are coming, they don't have the will. In the working market, a lot of them have a different set of values, and this doesn't go away.
What would you say to those who say they want to work with refugees to help them develop businesses, to help them build roots and become a creative, dynamic, contributing force in Danish society?
Well, if you want to do volunteer work, you can do that. I won't ban it. I believe that they have a different view on how to raise children, how to treat women. Then you have a problem.
The Danish People's Party will bring a motion in the next session of Parliament calling for no more refugees to be allowed into the country, and for many already here to be sent back. Meanwhile, both Nora Bita Suberg and Khalid Jesri say they hope to expand their businesses. Nora wants to teach cookery to other marginalised women in Denmark. Khalid hopes that refugees in other countries might see how social media can be used to make them less of a burden on their host countries and instead a net contributor.